"This is it," Harry said again, and his heart was now pumping so hard and fast he felt it must interfere with his speech. "It's through here." He glanced around at them all. They had their wands out and looked suddenly serious and anxious. He looked back at the door and pushed. It swung open. They were there. They had found the place. High as a church and full of nothing but towering shelves covered in small, dusty glass orbs. They glimmered dully in the light issuing from more candle brackets set at intervals along the shelves. Like those in the circular room behind them, their flames were burning blue. The room was very cold. Harry edged forward and peered down one of the shadowy aisles between two rows of shelves. He could not hear anything nor see the slightest sign of movement.
"You said it was row 97,
whispered Hermione.
"Here,"
breathed Harry, looking up at the end of the closest row. Beneath the branch of blue glowing candles protruding from it glimmered the silver figure 53.
"We need to go right, I think,"
whispered Hermione, squinting to the next row.
"Yes, that's 54.
"Keep your wands out," Harry said softly. They crept forward, staring behind them as they went on down the long alleys of shelves, the farther ends of which were in near total darkness. Tiny yellowing labels had been stuck beneath each glass orb on the shelf. Some of them had a weird liquid glow. Others were as dull and dark within as blown light bulbs. They passed row 84, 85. Harry was listening hard for the slightest sound of movement, but Sirius might be gagged now, or else unconscious. Or, said an unbidden voice inside his head, he might already be dead.
"I'd have felt it,"
he told himself, his heart now hammering against his Adam's apple.
"I'd already know." 97,
whispered Hermione. They stood grouped around the end of the row, gazing down the alley beside it. There was nobody there.
"He's right down at the end,"
said Harry, whose mouth had become slightly dry.
"You can't see properly from here."
And he led them forward between the towering rows of glass balls, some of which glowed softly as they passed.
"He should be near here,"
whispered Harry, convinced that every step was going to bring the ragged form of Sirius into view upon the darkened floor.
"Anywhere here, really close."
"Harry," said Hermione tentatively, but he did not want to respond. His mouth was very dry now.
"Somewhere about here,"
he said. They had reached the end of the row and emerged into more dim candlelight. There was nobody there at all. All was echoing, dusty silence.
"He might be,"
Harry whispered hoarsely, peering down the alley next door.
"Or maybe..."
He hurried to look down the one beyond that.
"Harry,"
said Hermione again.
"What?"
he snarled.
I don't think Sirius is here."
Nobody spoke. Harry did not want to look at any of them. He felt sick. He did not understand why Sirius was not here. He had to be here. This was where he, Harry, had seen him. He ran up the space at the end of the rows, staring down them. Empty aisle after empty aisle flickered past. He ran the other way, back past his staring companions. There was no sign of Sirius anywhere, nor any hint of a struggle.